Hello, women of power and spirit. This month, we're going to explore how to change your mind to create greater flow. Let's take a look at a prescription from January 13th, 2016. And it goes like this. Hold your thoughts in love and watch how they transform. It's one of the gifts of the holding. The holding not only helps you transform difficult emotions or accelerate positive feel-good desires and emotions, it also can help you be present to thoughts and beliefs that have formed that may no longer be serving you, or thoughts that are introduced as a result of circumstances. And COVID right now, this whole pandemic on the planet with the virus COVID-19, is really showing us how everything can feel turned upside down, and our thoughts begin to reflect external environment as opposed to our thoughts affecting external environment in the way we want them to. So think about it for a minute. This all can seem so surreal, doesn't it? It makes you wonder, how did this happen? Why did this happen? How are we supposed to survive through this? Either literally, as in protecting our lives, our physical lives, or financially being able to provide for ourselves. This virus demands that we evaluate how we are living individually and collectively. And that is creating new thought forms, collective thought forms, and our own thoughts about the virus to begin with, and our thoughts in response to the collective thought forms. And the piece I want to add that I want us to be really aware of in this discussion is that when you start deepening into your spiritual service to your community and the world, and as you begin to apply metaphysical principles, you become very much aware that your thoughts are contributing to the whole, and in fact are influencing the whole collective thought. So what you are thinking matters. I was talking with Jeffrey today about a news statement that was made by the director of the World Health Organization stating that the pandemic was going to get much worse before it got better. And I'm paraphrasing. This isn't exactly what he said. And I said to Jeffrey, those are the thoughts we want to be careful of. And Jeffrey said, well, he's looking at the data. It was a very reasonable argument, by the way, that he's looking at the data and he's stating what he's seeing coming. And I said, yes, but we have to be careful about our prognostications. What are we saying that is trying to predict the future? And is that the future we want to have? I had just finished a very thoughtful interview with Mike Rorick for the telesummit, Women Emerging, Reclaiming Our Souls from Sexual Abuse. And in his story, and you'll get a chance to hear it, he talks about how he was in a terrible car accident and his spine was badly damaged. And his doctor basically told him, this is what your life is going to be. Your life is going to change now. And Mike said, I bought that story for about 4 to 5 years. And then there was a day where I was just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I decided it was going to change. And in that moment, his spine actually started to respond and started mending itself. And I had a similar experience. I share that story when I was standing in front of my bathroom mirror, tears streaming down my face. I'd been sick for 7 years. We couldn't figure out what the heck was going on, no diagnosis. But I decided in that moment, no matter what, I was healing. And literally minutes later, when I got out into the car to go shopping with my girlfriend, we had a conversation about an endocrinologist who worked with cases like mine. And she explained, she was a woman studying to become an attorney, she explained to me what was going on in my body hormonally that no gynecologist had yet been able to explain to me. I'm sharing this because your thought forms matter, and the emotions that come along with those thoughts matter. If the head of the World Health Organization is making a blanket prophetic statement that it's going to get worse, that is now in the collective thought form. Is that the reality it has to be? Well, my friend Mike Rorick would say, could be, but it might be a different reality if we were to choose to create something different. And that was my experience in healing. So as we are listening to the news and taking in this vast amount of information, I want to encourage you to be very mindful about what you let seep in and become part of your thought forms, and to consider what thought forms you want to be putting out into the collective consciousness. So let's take our World Health Organization representative as an example. And by the way, he's doing his job. I want you to know we're reflecting on this, at least in my heart and mind, with great respect. He has got one tough job, and he's trying to get entire countries to pay attention to the measures they may need to put into place to ensure that people are safe. I totally get that. I really do. And his responsibility is to look at the data and interpret the data and provide us with insights about what that data might be indicating. And this is the significant word. Not what it is indicating, what it might be indicating, because that leaves room for our consciousness to actually call these circumstances into a higher reality. So let's go back to my friend Mike Rorick. Let's use that as an example now. If his doctor had come to him and said, Mike, this is the damage that has been done to your spine. How you are going to heal is up to you. Here are some things that I recommend you do for your best self-care, given what I know. Period. Do you see how that opens up the space? It doesn't tell him you're going to be in a wheelchair for the rest of your life, or you're never going to walk like normal, or you're never going to be able to hold a job. These were the kinds of things, certainly, that never be able to work. That's what he was told. And they're not true. If you saw Mike today, I mean, he's a fitness instructor, for heaven's sakes. He's strong. He's well-built. He's got energy. He's alive. He's walking around. He's moving. I've met him in person. He is a thriving man. So we do need to become aware of what we convey to others about what the potential of the future may or may not be. And this is true, my dear friends, even if you have precognitions or ideas about the future, or you have had visions about what the future holds. Something I was taught by my elder, and I want to pass this along to you because I think it's really significant. What my elder said to me is that every time you receive a precognition or you receive a prophetic dream, anything that's an indication about what is to come, more often than not, you are also going to be given an insight about a variable that can be changed, that can affect a different outcome, or we might say take it into a different probability stream. So I want us to be aware that the thoughts we have are creating the reality we are experiencing right now. Our tendency is to lock in our potential future experiences based upon past experiences and our concerns in the moment. And we tend to play these scenarios or these thoughts, you might say, in our brains over and over again. It's called perseveration. And you're playing the same little audio or visual message over and over and over and over in your brain until that becomes your mantra and that becomes the reality that you perceive is available to you. Now, here's another thing that happens as we're looking at our thoughts. If you've engaged in an activity, and let's say you were in a learning curve, an early learning curve with it, and as you began this activity, let's say you're playing piano, as you begin this activity, the first time you sit down to the piano, it doesn't sound really good. You miss a lot of notes, even though it was a simple piece. If you let that become your predominant thought, that is how you play piano, and you do the kinds of things we do to ourselves, oh, I'm not very good, oh, I must not really understand this, oh my God, I must be terrible, maybe my parents were right, I'll never learn how to do something like this, oh my gosh, my teacher must think I'm awful. You start believing these thoughts about how you can't play piano. And you've got this tiny little shred of evidence that you're hanging on to. And that thought keeps going around and around and around and around in your mind. You're perseverating on it. That becomes your reality every time you sit down to the piano. You're focusing on what you didn't do well. And then if you've listened to another student play a piece, maybe they're further along, or maybe they're just kind of more adept at the beginning of their learning curve, and they're playing pretty well, and you're saying, oh my God, I'm not as good as that, right? You're comparing. I'm not as good as that. Where is your thought? Your thought is in, I'm not good. And it's not giving you an opportunity to create within your potential. You've just locked it in to a very narrow space, a very narrow band, and often based on very, very shaky evidence. If we want to continue to manifest our dreams, our real potential as divine beings, we need to become aware of our thoughts. Let's take a look at COVID-19 again. What's going on in the collective consciousness and what we need to be considering. Old paradigms, as I said, about how we live have to be reconsidered, reevaluated. People were dying as our crisis response mechanisms were very much lacking here in the U.S. and in many countries around the world, which means those emergency response systems need to be evaluated, funded, improved, whatever we decide needs to change. Most people in our country live from month to month. Few people have savings to hold them over through a crisis, even for a month. So something will have to change. National debt ceilings have gone up in countries around the world, which is likely to mean the value of our currencies will be changing. Our moral values have been tested. What's the difference, for example, between stocking up and hoarding? How do we take care of ourselves without causing harm to the workers that we need at our grocery stores and pharmacies and banks and other essential businesses? How do we contribute meaningfully in service and take care of our own expenses and family needs while also being supportive of others in their needs? When is it time to hold in reserve for self-care? And when is it time to give to another? previous generations have lived through wars and financial depressions in which their values were deeply tested. Now, like them, we are called to dig deep to find the best that lives inside of us. So consider, what thoughts tend to float around in your mind after all the things I just shared? What jumped out? What thoughts? And potentially then what beliefs, meaning kind of a deeper seated version of those thoughts, are arising out of your anxiety, fear, doubts, or concerns? Are those overriding other thoughts that could be more transformative, more creative thoughts? For example, are you able to conceive that the best of what you have to offer might be exactly what is needed right now? Maybe you came here for this time right now. Are you able to conceive that you will be taken care of and the universe still has your back? Are you able to conceive that every person on this planet can be well taken care of? Are you able to imagine there are people out there in the world that already have answers to our greatest problems? Are you able to ask yourself, what would those individuals with solutions need? Or what would I need because I have a solution for the world? What would they or I need to get those solutions to the right people? And how can I support that happening? Our most difficult times demand we find and act from our spiritual center, that we trust what we can't see yet and become incredibly creative. But as we've been discovering in this conversation, and you may have known before we came into this conversation, that can't happen if our thoughts are focused on how bad the problem is or how bad the problem could be. It doesn't mean we deny the data. It doesn't mean we deny what is happening. I want to be very clear. Any more than when you go into the holding, you deny the pain you've been carrying all your life or the burden you've been carrying since you were a child. This is not about denial. That's not what this is. We hold those potentials, those occurrences in compassion. Just like you can hold your childhood pain in compassion, we can hold what is happening for the families who are losing loved ones and people who have the virus. We can hold everyone involved in compassion. That's part of rolling up our sleeves and being in there and being present to the solutions. And then we can be creative and compassionate in our ability, in our thoughts about creating solutions. In preparation for our holding meditation, I invite you to notice your thoughts. What do they tend to lock on? What are the news items you keep reading? What are the fears that keep coming up, and what are the thoughts that are with them? In what way might they be triggering experiences from your past or your family's past? For example, my grandmother and grandfather lived through the Depression and drove, I can't remember whether it was a Model A or a Model T, across the country in the middle of the Depression with seven kids, if you can imagine, across country from Minnesota to Washington State in hope that they could find work, that Grandpa could get work to support them. Grandpa found work as a migrant farmer, and they lived in a shack next to the farm. They had straw for bedding. Grandma said they had one wood stove and one pan for laundry, dishes, cooking, everything, one pan, and straw for beds. I could hardly believe it when I heard that story. Could hardly believe it. And that's a part of me. That's part of what I inherited, was the struggle that my family went through and everything that came with it. Everything that I watched in the interactions between my father and his parents and my mother when she came into the family and his parents and my beliefs about money and poverty for many, many years of my life, that was all there, even when I didn't know the story. And then it was very present for me when I knew the story. And how did they survive? And how is that a part of my DNA? How were they creative? And how is that a part of my DNA? So I want you to consider that as you're going through this time, your own family history in relationship to hard times, plagues, war, loss of life, it's all there and it may be being triggered. So notice your thoughts, particularly the ones that don't make any sense. And you're thinking, but I don't believe that. I know that's not true. When you hear yourself saying that, it probably has come through your genetic heritage or a past life. That means it gives you something else to consider as you're holding, that you might be holding something from the past that is very much a part of your present right now. So I invite you to become aware of your thoughts. What's floating around in your mind? Notice which one, for the moment, rises to the surface. And we will take that into the holding so it can find its rest, and new solution-oriented thoughts will have space to become your normal thoughts. And I'll see you there.